month of December on the Advent. And today's reading, we come finally where we light the Christ candle. If you just give me a second, I'm going to light all of these. There we go. And the reading comes from Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God answered our question before we asked it. So we'd see his answer, he lit the sky with a star. And so we'd hear it, he filled the night with the choir. And so we believe it, he did what no one could ever have dreamed. He became flesh and lived among us. Watch this video as you see Mary attempting to tell Joseph that she's pregnant. To break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. I want to continue to read from the Gospel of Luke, still in chapter 2, and verse 8. That night, the night that Jesus was born, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And continuing to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it says that when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. That was good singing. I'm just waiting for that PowerPoint to come up. London Saunders, the picture of the man that you see behind me, he was host of the radio series called Heartbeat Radio. And he often would go out and he'd give talks on the life of Jesus, and then he'd open it up for questions from the audience. Anybody could ask anything they wanted to. Well, at one of his talks, a man listened to Saunders with great intensity. And when it was time for questions, he was the first man at the microphone. His eyes squinted with caution, and the tone of his voice revealed that while he was intrigued, he was also very uncertain about what he'd heard. "You mean to tell me God became a baby and that he was born in a stable?" Saunders answered, "Yes, that's what I meant to say. He was raised in a blue-collar home, yet called himself the Son of God." Again, Saunders affirmed, "Yes, that's right. He apprenticed as a carpenter, yet asked to be regarded as the creator of the universe." And once more, Saunders answered, "That's correct. And you say his own people betrayed him to be executed as a common thief and that no one came to his defense?" Saunders replied, "That's the gist of it. And after he was dead, his body was placed in a borrowed tomb." Saunders answered, "Yes, he had no grave of his own, nor any money to purchase one." The honesty of the dialogue pulled people in. It was as if the two men were standing on opposite sides of a deep chasm, and the one was asking the other if the bridge which stretched between them could actually be trusted. The questioner pressed on. "And after he'd been dead for 3 days, he came back to life and he was seen by more than 500 people." "Yes. And what you're saying is that the whole point of his life and all that he did was proof that God loved mankind." "That's right." Then it was as if everyone could anticipate what the next question would be. Doesn't this sound all rather absurd? It's a necessary question to ask. Is Christianity the stuff of legend, or is it the truth? Does it explain the reality of the world we live in, including our own lives, or is it a fable? I would put before you the birth, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is a well-documented historical event. And because of that, there's an even more important question we need to ask. Why? The Bible tells the story of what happened to humanity when we turned away from God and became self-focused instead of God-centered. So why didn't God wash his hands of us then? Why has he been so persistent in making himself known to us? Why did he go to the lengths that he did in order to rescue us from the mess that we've made of this world? And the answer has everything to do with who God is. Get the right one there. God is love. 1 John 4:16 says. 1 John 4:19 says that he first loved us. And 1 John 4, verse 9 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." See, God demonstrated in and through Jesus just how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love for us. The story of Christmas is the invitation to come and see the invitation to come and see. Oh, sorry. I can't. I'm at a disadvantage because the screen's not up there and I can't see behind me. It's the invitation to come and see what God has done. From perspective of the birth of Jesus Christ, and this is the chapter that we've been studying here at this church for the last 4 weeks. And in John chapter 1, this is what we read. In the beginning, the Word, and the Word was a title, a name that was assigned to Jesus by the Apostle John. It's referring, every time you hear the Word, it's referring to Jesus. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became flesh and made His home among us. He was full of grace and truth, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Incredible passage that describes the person of Jesus. And what this tells us is that humanity's dilemma was so great that the only way out for us required God the Son to come into our world. The personal cost to Jesus of rescuing us was staggering. And yet He never balked or blinked or hesitated. He considered humanity to be of such great value that the cost to Him was worth it. And to this day, the God who came and gave Himself to in sacrifice for us, He continues to pursue after us. I want to tell you one story that happened more than 70 years ago that illustrates the persistent and the tenacious love of Jesus. On October 1942, a B-17 Flying Fortress crashed in the Pacific Ocean. All 9 members of the crew survived. They crammed into a 9-foot-long boat with enough rations for 8 days. It would take a miracle for them to survive. One of the 9 men was named John Bartak. He daily led the rest of the men in reading from the Bible and praying. The morning after their food had run out, one of the crew members named Rickenbacker leaned his head back against the sidewall of the raft and he pulled his hat over his eyes. It was at that moment the extraordinary happened. A seagull landed on his head. Now, you might not think that's a miracle, because if it happened down on Whiffen's Pit, it would be a nuisance. But if you're on a lifeboat in the Pacific, it's extraordinary. Every man's eyes were locked on Rickenbacker. Would he be able to catch the gull? With lightning speed, his hand flashed up, grabbed the bird by its legs, and that day they ate the seagull and used its intestines as bait to catch fish. And as a result of that miracle, all but one survived 30 days adrift in the Pacific Ocean. There's more to the story. One of the 9 men was named James Whitaker. He had resented and he verbally protested whenever John Bartak led the men in reading the Bible and in prayer. But when the seagull landed on Rickenbacker's head, that was the pivotal turning point in Whitaker's life. It was there and then that he invited Jesus to be the leader of his life and the forgiver of his sin. While the rest of the world was preoccupied with a war that had spread around the globe, God was not too busy to send a seagull to convince 9 men adrift on a raft that he was interested in them, that he cared for them, and that he wanted to have a relationship with them. And so I say it again, the lengths to which God will go and the means which he will use to convince a person that he loves them is nothing short of extraordinary. What God has done in Jesus, as Eric is saying, is the story of amazing love. This is what we've come. This is what we came to remember and to celebrate tonight. We have 2 songs left to sing. Both of them provide us with words with which to express our gratitude to God for the gift of his Son given to us. Jesus is good news of great joy. Some of you might not yet be in a relationship with Jesus, but if you're interested to know more, I've left out at the connection desk a number of these booklets that are entitled Knowing Jesus Personally. You're welcome to pick one of those up. Look through them. They give you the stories of other people who've come to know Jesus in a personal way. They explain how to initiate a relationship with him. And if you have other questions, I want you to know that I'm available to meet with you if you would like to help you in your search after God. Merry Christmas to you. May you have a blessed time with your family. These little booklets that were on the seats are for you to take as well if you would like them. We put them on every other seat, and so if there isn't one on the seat you are sitting, you're welcome to wander around the room until you find one. There are a bunch of them on the front row here. I just want to pray for you as we leave. Thank you, God, for a wonderful time to be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Thank you that he was willing to come to this earth for us. And though the cost was great, he was willing to pay it for us. And that just reminds us how dearly we are loved by you. So thank you. May you bless each of us with an incredible time of celebrating. We give gifts to one another because of the gift you've given to us. We feast because you gave such a great abundance of grace and love towards us. So bless each one here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.